Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Stars James Marino.
James, things are slowing down for the holidays. A lot of the press reps have taken things slow, so we don't have a ton of news today. But we've got a few things of note to talk about, but for the most part, Broadway's a little quiet right now.
Absolutely. It's a good time to get some schmackery cookies and milk.
If you want to send some down here to Orlando, I will gladly accept them.
That's a thought. All right, let's get on to last week's Broadway grosses.
Yeah, after a number of good, solid weeks in a row, the Broadway grosses took a 7.33% hit last week as folks prepared for that Thanksgiving holiday. A lot of tourists were saving their trips into the city for this coming week. The total grosses came in at $26,762,456, with an average ticket price of $105.81. Only four shows that played consecutive eight-show performance weeks had gains at the box office, those being Hamilton, that French show that I'm not going to try to pronounce the name of, Falsettos, and Heisenberg. Hamilton led the way again at $2,454,656, followed by the usual suspects of The Lion King, Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, and The Front Page, all above $1 million. Much like the week following the Tony Awards, The Color Purple took a massive bottom line hit with Cynthia Erivo out on vacation, dropping nearly $300,000. Though it was the lowest grosser last week, In Transit did see a $57,000 increase, going from 5 to 8 shows. However, with 83% capacity and an average paid ticket of $54.51, it's not looking good for the ACA musical just yet. It does look like they're papering quite a bit and giving out free tickets, presumably to generate some positive word of mouth. We'll have to see if that actually pays dividends when they stop giving away free tickets, because that average paid ticket is pretty low for an 83% capacity. On the other hand, in Dear Evan Hansen's first 7 shows on Broadway, the new musical did a healthy $804,000. Similarly, A Bronx Tale continues to do decent money during previews at $651,000 for 7 shows. Great Comet dropped nearly $150,000 to $888,000 during its opening week, and with Josh Groban taking a few performances off. James, if things don't turn around quickly for In Transit, I'm not sure how long it will last into the new year, if it even gets there at all. But other than that, and the shows that have already announced closing, I don't see any obvious candidates to close after the new year. I mean, there's always some of those long-running ones that could, but nothing just screams, gotta close.
And, of course, you're talking about the ones that haven't already scheduled closing dates.
Correct. Yeah, that's what I mean. In Transit is a possibility, and then there's obviously the ones like Fiddler and Something Rotten that have already announced that they're closing, and Jersey Boys. But other than those that we already know aren't going to be around too much further past January, I don't know that anything packs it up before the spring season hits.
Well, I saw a secret plan on Facebook posted by somebody for In Transit. They put their marketing brains together, and they're working on trying to get Mike Pence to come to see In Transit. So if they can get the Pences there, perhaps...
Please. I mean, it's fine. I hope he goes and sees it, because we want people to go see Broadway shows, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. I just don't. I'm over it.
All right. Next up in the great news, Merrily We Roll Along documentary is number one nationwide.
Well, with an asterisk. I didn't put that in there, but there's a little bit of an asterisk. But yesterday, Atlas Media...
It didn't beat all the Universal.
No, no. Fantastic Beasts and Doctor Strange, it didn't beat those. But we'll get to it. Yesterday, Atlas Media announced that they had extended the New York run of their documentary Best Worst Thing That Ever Could Have Happened, following a strong opening weekend. In fact, the look behind the scenes of the original Broadway production of Merrily We Roll Along finished the weekend as the number one documentary film in the nation in terms of the box office charts. So not exactly the highest grossing film in the nation across the country, but for documentary films, which this is a really strong time for documentaries because everything is getting ready to be released in preparation for the Academy Awards season, that's a really good thing to know that this documentary about a show that bombed on Broadway is actually doing pretty well. So congratulations to everybody involved with that, including director Lonnie Price. It will be presented around the country for people to see, and if you want to figure out where it's being shown in your neck of the woods, visit www.bestworstthingmovie.com.
Michael and Peter talked about it this weekend on This Week on Broadway. Yeah. And Peter said something very strong that Peter doesn't normally say. He said that if you see this documentary and you do not cry, he doesn't even want to know you.
I have a feeling that if he says that, there's a pretty good chance that I would cry. I cry at many movies. Like, the first movie I remember as an adult or an older teenager crying at is, I remember when Randy Quaid flew his spaceship up into the alien craft in Independence Day, and I teared up at that, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem. This is a problem. I'm going to cry at a lot of things if I'm crying at Independence Day.
We've mentioned it before. Don't. I can only watch Field of Dreams alone.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
All right. Next up, Broadway Records announces the next round of live albums.
Yeah, on Friday, Broadway Records announced three new titles to be added to its Live at Feinstein's 54 Below series. The first is from Charles Busch. The second is from Carmen Cusack, entitled If You Knew My Story. And then the always engaging duo of Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp with a show entitled Acoustically Speaking, 20 Years of Friendship. All three albums will be released digitally and in stores on Friday, December 2nd, 2016, and are currently available for pre-order at BroadwayRecords.com. James, go ahead. I heard
no,
you.
No, no. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, I've seen Adam Pascal and Anthony Rapp together in Rent. I've never seen their show, but as somebody who wore out my Rent CD growing up, yes, back when CDs were a thing, that's one that I'm going to have just because of who they are and how much that show means to me and my development as a theater fan. But I have a feeling the one that might be the most exciting is Carmen Cusack. She is definitely a star on the rise, and as great as Charles Busch is, a Tony nominee and a drag legend, as the press release says, I think that Carmen Cusack album is going to be really something special.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's good to get more stuff to listen to from Carmen. So next up, are you going to get your freak on for Freaky Freaky Friday?
Get my freak on. Okay, maybe I could. I'm looking forward to this one.
That was a Rent reference.
Well, yeah. It could also have been a Shrek the Musical reference. I could have let my Freaky Friday flag fly with a ton of alliteration.
Yes.
There.
Yeah, you like that.
Anyway, speaking of new albums being released, yesterday it was announced that the Disney world premiere of the Freaky Friday musical, which features a book by TV writer Bridget Carpenter and a score by Pulitzer Prize and Tony Award winning team of Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey, will head into the recording studio coming up here in the next few weeks, because the album is going to come out in early 2017. We will have a link to where you can pre-order it, but it will feature the cast, or at least the stars of the Signature Theater production, which are Broadway performers Heidi Blickenstaff and Emma Hunton, playing the mother-daughter-daughter-mother pair that switch bodies and all that stuff. But it's got great reviews in its rundown in Washington, D.C., actually technically Arlington, Virginia. And knowing Disney's stranglehold on the box offices on Broadway, and now that Tommy Schumacher is going to be the head of the Broadway League, I would be shocked if this doesn't at least have a New York run over the next year or so, especially when you've got Frozen coming in, you've got Lion King and Aladdin still dominating the box offices. There's no reason to think that we couldn't have three or four Broadway shows from Disney here in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, so one of our listeners, Debbie Schrager, emailed us a while ago, a couple of weeks back, and talked about Freaky Friday, and she attended the opening night, and she gave it really two thumbs up.
Yeah, I don't want to put words in her mouth, and I don't know where to put it, but I think she said it's really strong, it's got a lot of great songs, probably needs a little bit of cleaning up. So Debbie, if you're listening and I'm not remembering your email correctly, let me know. But from overall, not just from her, but from the official reviews and from some other people I know that saw it, really good bones to the musical. Probably needs some edits and refining before it comes to New York, but that's what out-of-town trials are for. So I think that's probably a good sign that there are things that are obvious enough that need to be changed before whatever the next incarnation of the property is.
She called it a small Disney property, no flash, no glitz, And here's a great pull quote that Disney should use: a fun musical with an infectious score.
Oh, I like infectious. That's a good word.
Infectious. That's a wonderful word. Unless, anyway.
Right. Yeah, when you're talking about musicals, not yes. when you're talking about, like, the Zika virus.
Yeah, which is officially over. So,
but, don't get me started on that one, James.
You're down south. Yeah, yeah, it snowed here today in New York. So, yeah, I'm wondering how hard that's going to hit the grosses this week. So, we'll see. It got very cold and windy. One thing we didn't put in the rundown, and I meant to send this to you, is that Off-Broadway's mysterious White Rabbit, Red Rabbit turned a profit with rotating stars.
Oh, did it? I did not see that press release.
Yeah, White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, that thing that plays once a week with a new person.
Great stars, yeah.
Great stars. Let's see, Nathan Lane, Kira Sedgwick, Whoopi Goldberg, Darren Criss, F. Murray Abraham, Ramin Karimloo, Martin Short, Brian Dennehy. Oh, and the upcoming Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Yeah, Stokes, yeah. That's a great – I mean, I no one really – unless you go see it, no one has any idea what the heck this show is about. So to be able to really turn a profit just based on the stars that you wrangle in who also don't know anything about the show to do it, that's a really probably successful marketing campaign more than anything else, because nobody knows what the show is about.
Yeah, once a week performance schedule in an intimate space of less than 250 seats. Tickets at $79 a piece with a $125 premium. So yeah, that's quite the thing. Tickets are currently on sale through December 19th. So yeah, we didn't officially have that on the thing. I'll send you the link so we can put that in
Please
the show
do,
notes.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the show notes, but that's about it. So anything else?
Nope, that's all I got. And Ohio State beat Western Carolina in basketball tonight, which is why we're recording a little later, because I had to live tweet that for an Ohio State sports website. So, yeah.
Thanks.
So fun.
Sportball.
Sportball.
All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Tuesday with us, and we'll be back and talk with you tomorrow.